Over the next 9 weeks, we're going to be keeping our focus on two brief verses from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and it will be helpful to have your Bibles open today. It's the list of what's called the fruit of the Spirit. Nine attributes, nine fruits that come to us and are grown in us by way of faith in Jesus Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit. And they are these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If ever these were desperately needed to be lived in this world, it's today, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because the exact opposite of these seems to dominate so much of the landscape, including what can often and easily work its way into our very hearts and our very attitudes. The opposite of these. So we're going to take some time with these nine fruits over the coming weeks, branching out from Galatians 5 into a variety of other texts. Part of the reason why it seems so important to me as your pastor for us to focus on this as a church right now as we begin a new season is not just in response to the world and all the negatives that we see, and there are plenty of them. Instead, it's because these are in fact what God, what the Holy Spirit is growing among us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are gifts, these are attributes, fruits, that the Holy Spirit is growing in us, or rather I should say is growing on us like fruit from a hanging from a tree. Like tomatoes on a vine, apples on a tree. And I want to do everything that I can as a pastor to help fertilize this growth. Kind of like what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 about, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God gave the growth. Things only grow like this by way of God. But we can fertilize. We can encourage things to happen. And so we have God's Word, and we have worship, and we have prayer, and we have the movement of the Holy Spirit. And we have this beautiful thing called community in which we support and encourage one another to grow, to be grown in all the ways that God causes us to grow. In love, in peace, in patience, in joy, in kindness, in goodness, in faithfulness, in gentleness, and in self-control. So I'm going to back up a little bit from what's listed in the bulletin. I'm going to back up to Galatians 5:13 and begin there, because Paul is laying out a contrast. He's basically saying, watch how you live. Watch how you're being influenced, and be alert to these powerful influences within you called the power of the flesh, sin. And don't go there. Don't lean into that. Go the other way. So beginning with Galatians 5:13 through verse 25. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've just had two brief chances to be with our kids in Chicago, Sid and I most recently together, including being with our new grandson, Soren, and his three-year-old sister, Amelia. Man, it's priceless. It can make my knees go weak being with these kids. It's amazing to see the children of your children and to hold them, to look at the tiny eyebrows and the tiny fingerprints and all the different characteristics that each child brings, and how peace-giving it can be to hold a newborn. Well, most of the time, not all the time, to hold a newborn and just to look and look and look. It's amazing. It's overwhelming. One thing I'm not very good at, it might surprise you that I'm not good, is looking at a baby and finding resemblance to family. Sometimes it is really obvious. But I have to admit that more often than not, I just don't see it. Not in a newborn. Some people are really good at this. Sid is good at this. A lot of you are good at this, where you say, oh, he's got his dad's eyes and his mom's nose and here's grandma's lips and Uncle Johnny's face. And on it can go. It doesn't come quickly to me. Maybe with coaching or if I look at old baby pictures, then I can kind of see it, but not like that. But then later on, it's amazing, as kids grow up, sometimes you run into somebody you knew as a baby in the hallway or out on the sidewalk and you say, you must be so-and-so's daughter. Or you must be so-and-so's son. You're the spitting image of your dad or your mom. Or you must be brother and sister. You look so much alike. My brother Don is 5 years older than me. And the older we get, the more we are looking alike. Here's one example. At a pastor's conference last winter, and Don wasn't there for it. He's 5 years older. He wasn't there for it. I got into the elevator to go down to a morning meeting, and at this conference we wear name tags, and I got into the elevator, and a friend of mine was on the elevator, and I said, oh, I left my name tag up in my room. When we get down, I better go back up and get it. Now, this friend, I've known her for about 25 years. And as we got down to the ground floor and the elevator door opened, she said, you don't need to get your name tag. Who here doesn't know Don Johnson? And even one time walking on a sidewalk in Chicago, I heard from behind me, Dad, Dad. And I turned around, it was my nephew, Luke. And he walked up and he said, you guys even walk alike. Sometimes, a lot of times in families, it's like that, where there is strong family resemblance. But not all the time, of course. Sometimes you can't tell by looking at them, at people that they're related. And, of course, there are adoptive families. And there are blended families where the physical resemblance, of course, isn't a factor. But there's still family. But there are other very strong resemblances. Very important resemblances. Like values. Like behaviors. Things we say, things we do, good and bad alike. patterns of living that are like a bright red thread pointing back to the people with whom we grew up, the people who influence us most deeply. And we carry a lot of these things forward with us in life. For you who have or who had faithful Christ-following parents, what's the impact been on you? And have you told them? Or have you thanked God for that positive Christ-following impact in your life? That's a profound thing to carry forward with us in life. There's also another side of this, of course. The things that ought not be carried forward. A lot of you, of course, have been following the news about Adrian Peterson, the Viking, punishing his four-year-old son by switching him with branches from a tree, with a branch from a tree. Switching his four-year-old and the skin enough to break the skin multiple times. Now he's been charged with child abuse. Rightly so. Part of his rationale for this discipline is that's what he grew up with in East Texas. Switches and belts and getting whooped by his dad. He even has a whooping room in his house. That's what he carries forward with him, not just a football. Like I said, we carry a lot of things forward with us, for good or for ill. Don't you wonder about that other NFL or Ray Rice, what he grew up with, such that he knocked out his fiance, now his wife. But thanks be to God that no matter what resemblances we carry forward with us from our families, from backgrounds, whether beautiful or awful, thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, as we yield our lives over to Him, receiving His gifts of forgiveness and washing and cleansing and new life, as we receive His grace and the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are adopted into an amazing new family, the family of God. We become full heirs in this family, full heirs of the kingdom, sons and daughters of the King of all of creation. It's what the Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter. He wrote, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are His special possession." And as His special possession, His family, resemblance with His family, is intended to grow, like a DNA that's newly imprinted in us. Resemblances that includes God's traits, Jesus' life, and the Holy Spirit's influence, and the picked up flavor of the faithful witnesses who have influenced our lives. And therefore we have this list from Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And at the head of the list, permeating everything else, is love. As Martin Luther wrote in his commentary on this section of Galatians, love is set in the very first place to remind followers that above and before everything else, we need to love one another, giving honor to one another through love. Without love, nothing else works. Without love, all that's involved with love, nothing else takes root in our lives. I won't read it now, but if you want to explore this further, read what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, the well-known love chapter. Go read through it again. It's all about love. It's a profound description of the love of Christ that grows in us. Without love, we're just making noise. It's all about us, and no one benefits. Nothing good goes forward without love. But with love, with real love, this Christ-like, Holy Spirit-grown love, it's a patient love that we have. It is a love that doesn't hold on to grudges. It is a love that is mature and lasting and deep and firm. Some of you know that there are different types of love noted in the Bible. Four types mainly. There is eros, which is the intimate love between lovers, a romantic sexual love. There's philia, which is love between brothers and sisters. There's storge, which is love within family, children and parents. And then there is agape. Agape love. That's the Greek word that Paul uses in this text at the head of the list. Love. It's the word that Jesus used so often, like what we heard in what we heard earlier. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Agape love is the word that he used in John 13 when he said, I'm giving you a new command. You who are my followers, I'm giving you a new command. Love each other. Because if you love each other, everyone will know that you're following me. If you love each other with this kind of love. The most basic description of agape love is that it is sacrificial and it is self-giving. It's given away. It's a type of love that looks first to the needs of other people rather than to herself. As William Barclay, an old Bible commentator, put it, it's the caliber of love that allows us to love people we don't even like and who don't like us. That kind of love. Agape love, this first in line fruit of love, this first in line fruit, is both muscular and very tender. It is both very understanding and it's very bold. It's love that doesn't shrink back when it is swatted away, and we know in families that this can be a real challenge when it gets swatted away. It doesn't shrink back. And so love that follows the heart of Christ into the complexities of this world, which are growing more and more complex each day. And so love that moves us to move closer to people who are different from us, including people whose values we disagree with or whose choices and lifestyles puzzle us, and people who we may even find offensive. Love moves us closer. I remember hearing a pastor a number of years ago preaching along these lines about loving people who are especially challenging to love. And he says that what he does with the love of Christ is he scoots closer. He moves the chair closer. He turns his position closer to those people who could otherwise be off-putting, offensive, or hard. This love, this fruit of the Spirit, it is a daring love. It stretches us. It brings us to the point of embracing others with whom it would be so much easier and more comfortable to stay disengaged. This is what the Holy Spirit grows in us. He grows agape love, like tomatoes on a vine, like apples on a tree. And when this fruit is shared with others, when it is tasted by them, we may not even know it. Because it's not about us. It's not so that we get any kind of praise for being so loving and gracious. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about the Holy Spirit being at work within us. It's all about God growing a family resemblance in us. So as a response to this text, would you simply pray openly and honestly? Pray to be carried even just one step further into this kind of love. Maybe it's with someone in your home. Or maybe it's with somebody if you looked for them, you could find them here today. Or maybe it's somebody at work or at school, or maybe it's somebody you don't even know yet. Pray that God would move you one step closer. Or more. Only God and you know what needs to happen next. Only God knows. You might not even know. But I know, just like all of you know, that we all have a lot more to grow into this type of agape love and all the ways it's lived out. So I'll close with this. Words from the Apostle Paul that come from a little bit earlier in Galatians, from chapter 5, verse 6. Paul writes, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love." The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Let's pray. God, grow us. Grow your fruit in us and on us, that it would be like low-hanging fruit for those around us, and that all the glory would be to you. You know those rough edges we have. You know those areas where we have disengaged or drawn back or held people under judgment. Would you move into those very areas and continue to change us and grow us in all the ways that give you praise? We pray it all in your name. Amen.